You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hello. You are in the MSP Zone, where you will hear insights, analysis, opinions that you just do not get anywhere else. Anywhere else. And to prove that, to underscore that today, we have a humdinger of a topic. And I mean, this is going to be a... It's already got my blood boiling, and I'm just kidding, partially. But it's a really important topic, and we're going to discuss it with our friend Rob Scott, who is going to weigh in with his expert analysis opinion, and we're going to get right into it. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to be with you. And anyone who knows you knows that if there's something that's happening that you think is bad for MSPs, it doesn't take long for your blood to start boiling.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I think you and I have been, in this industry at this for a very long time. And there are a lot of things that are bad ideas that never get off the ground. And it's not to say that we, by exposing ideas, you know, stop those bad ideas from flourishing, but people need to be aware of it. And I'm a big advocate of being aware of information and being aware of trends. And this is a trend that I've seen now in not a lot, but in some insurance companies. And so let's just dive right in, and I'll set up what we're seeing. And imagine you are an MSP and you are looking for cyber insurance. As MSPs are wont to do these days, they're going to go out there and say, yeah, I want to practice and be an MSP, but I also need some cyber protection, right? Makes sense. And you go to your insurance carrier. And first of all, most insurance carriers, there's a lot of insurance carriers that don't offer cyber, don't understand cyber. So it's already a small niche market in insurance. But let's say you find one of those niche cyber players, and you find someone who actually says, wow, we really specialize. We don't just do automotive and health and homeowners and all this other stuff. We do cyber. We specialize in cyber. And we, in fact, specialize in cyber for MSPs. And you might say, oh my gosh, Rob, you wouldn't guess. I found an insurance company. They not only understand cyber, but they understand me as an MSP. And you'd be thinking, jackpot. I'm solid gold, man. This is it. My search is over. And then what do? They say, MSP owner, before we underwrite you, and before we start to, you know, give this potentially selling it to your customers, but before we underwrite you, the MSP, we want you to give over all of your customer domain information to us. And we're going to deploy a scanning tool on those customers of yours. And we are going to identify what is going on in those customer domains that you are managing. And then we, the insurance company, are going to tell the customer what they should be doing. Now you can sell to them as an MSP and you can manage them, but we're going to tell them what to do. Now, Rob, you may be thinking that's too crazy to be true, but what do you think about that? First, have you heard of this happening?
Yes, I've heard of it, and I haven't experienced it firsthand with clients that I'm working with directly, because frankly, like you said, most of my clients are either working with or get referred to firms that specialize in cybersecurity for managed services, and they don't do anything of the sort of what you're talking about. I mean, they underwrite the policies based on a questionnaire. They have you know, a handful, a dozen of things that they're really focused on, and they publish what it is. They make it available, for example, to the members. They require you to attest that what you're telling them is true, and they may, in some instances, look for documentation. But to ask you to, you know, to give access to the domains of your customers, number one, is a big stretch in my mind. And number two, to actually engage in deploying presumably yet a third party's solution within your customer's environment and communicate with your client regarding IT security, which could be contrary to what it is that you think is appropriate for the client, or could otherwise significantly interfere with your contractual relationship with your client.
That is a big issue, but it's not the only issue here. So I just want to set the stage for people who may be outside of the country, right? We have a lot of our members are in Canada and in other countries in Europe and elsewhere, Latin America. In the United States, in our healthcare system, which is heavily influenced and dominated by the insurance industry, you have a phenomenon. It's probably not unique to our country. It probably happens elsewhere, where the physicians are really not in control of what they can or cannot do to their patients. And that care is largely, if it's heavily influenced by the whims of the insurance company, right? This isn't allowed procedure we can provide to you. This is not allowed. We will not subsidize or pay or compensate you as a physician if you do this thing to your patient. We won't pay you, which has the effect of it's not going to get done. That, in my opinion, Rob, is where this heads. And we're going to talk about why it gets there, but I can't imagine that that's an outcome that any MSP wants or customer.
I don't think so. And I don't think the people that are thinking about underwriting cyber want that either.
You could be right. You could be right.
I don't think people who want to underwrite cyber want to get involved in the risky business of deploying third-party solutions across domains with customers that they don't yet have a relationship with.
So do you think that them doing that is a misunderstanding of what it means to do that, to actually get involved in network access?
I think it's problematic on a number of levels. First, from the perspective of the MSP, the question is, under the confidentiality terms of their engagement with their customers, are they legally permitted to disclose this information?
Well, that's a really... So you're saying, all right, the MSP shopping for insurance is one thing. The MSP violating the confidentiality agreement they have with their customers to give over that type of domain. You're not talking about the access. You're just talking about the knowledge of that customer.
What is confidential information under the terms of the applicable agreements? In our structure, this language would be in the master. And in the master agreement, we define as confidential all of the customer's data. So you can't go giving to third parties when you're shopping for insurance information about, you know, what your client data is, and particularly that which could implicate security, and then allow a third party to run a tool in your client's environment is an even further potential for a breach of the agreement between the managed service provider and the end user customer. From the perspective of the insurance company or organization, undertaking this activity, pursuant to what terms and conditions are you doing this? You don't have a relationship with this end user. How are you going to gain access to what could be significantly regulated data that you don't even know what regulations apply? And you're going to go take a third-party tool and run it in these environments as part of what you think is appropriate underwriting activity, I think that's a huge mistake. I think the way to do it is make the MSP or the end user, whoever you're trying to engage with, whoever you're underwriting, provide information that's equivalent to what it is that that tool would gather. Put the burden on the end user and the MSP to make application and support the application with whatever forensic evidence you deem appropriate. It's so, equivalent to blood work in a health insurance exam.
Right.
Or life insurance exam. You know, if you do it that way, it's appropriate underwriting. If you start getting into, I need to run a third-party tool in your customer's environments, the legal implications are significant and negative for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And as you say, we've already seen this nightmare before in the healthcare world.
So, Rob, I want to ask you a question, which is, you are not, I'm not espousing this. I don't think you are either. We're not saying that we don't want and don't have standards for MSPs or even for customers. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is it's not the carrier with their own tool that's the way to go about it. Deploying that tool directly to the customer and saying that's going to be our determination of what your rate is and whether we actually bind policy and coverage. Is that, are we on the same page there?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. I don't think the dispute is between you and me.
Yeah. Well, no.
I don't think I'm the one that's making your blood boil.
True.
But I do think it's important and, you know, want to make sure that I'm being clear that there is a problem in the market right now for managed services providers. And the availability of coverage is limited. The market has turned against MSPs for, you know, a number of very high profile incidents.
Yeah, okay, but I need to pause there. Why has the market turned against the MSPs? And is that turning against the MSPs justified?
Well, I don't think it's justified.
I would agree.
But I'm a free market guy. And insurance markets are going to adjust to sentiment and risk. And particularly specialty lines of this nature.
But can we have a discussion about why you and I both feel that the sentiment turning against MSPs as it pertains to covering the MSP for cyber protection, cyber coverage, why that is unjustified? Because I think that that's important for people listening in the audience, especially if they're working in the industry, in the cyber industry, or maybe they're a public policy person getting ready to write a law that says, you know, you are an MSP, and if you do business with the state, as a state agency, you're going to have cyber coverage. I mean, the why is important, I guess is what I'm saying. So why do you think it's important?
Well, cyber coverage, I think, is mandatory. As you know, we developed, you know, one of the leading managed services insurance products together, you and I, in 2008. And that program is still being run. And our broker Lockton publishes what they're looking for when they do underwriting. And it's going to be the same things that they're looking for when they underwrite the MSP for professional liability as when they look at first party. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're not applying those standards, then you're going to be left out of the risk transfer market. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the carriers and their brokers saying, these are our 12 pillars of cybersecurity. And if you're not following them, you're not going to get through our underwriting, or your rates are going to be crappy and you might not get renewed.
A fair point.
I think that we're at a place now where the carriers are, because of the supply and demand imbalance, are in a position to demand more as part of underwriting. The risk profile is changing. the claims experience is such that, you know, the relationship between MSPs and end users and third-party service providers is murky at best. And so, you know, the insurance companies are wanting to influence more risk management at the level of the MSP because they're the ones who get the bill. And that's how insurance and risk transfer work. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I have no problem with any of that. No problem.
But I think that the right approach here is due diligence and underwriting where the customers come forward to demonstrate their capability to gather and understand the data that would otherwise be the subject of the investigation that the carrier would want to do on its own.
Rob, I'm going to pose a hypothetical, which, you know, lawyers always love answering hypotheticals, right? I'm a break fix guy. I'm a break fix guy, and I have 5% of my business is managed services, what I'll call true managed services. 95% is reactive time and materials, and I'm just it's not managed services, whatever it is, but
unmanaged chaos.
There you go. I go to a cyber insurance company and I say, I'm looking for cyber, and my website says I'm an MSP. That is, in my opinion, the vast majority of situations where the quote unquote MSPs are being exploited and breached and their downstream customers are being negatively impacted. That's just my personal opinion of what is happening and why the sentiment has turned, as it relates to MSPs. What do you think of that?
I totally agree. And because this word, this is partly your fault.
Who's mine?
Yes, because managed services has become so prevalent. And because everything now is managed services, in part because of the work that you and your wife and other people have done in the industry, but especially you guys, to raise prominence around this service. But what is important to understand is, you know, the MSP Alliance promotes professionalism and very high standards of technical safeguards. Our colleagues that are verified are not risky to underwrite. They're low risk to underwrite.
Yeah.
And the reason is, unlike a break fix shop, these guys have a plan and they lead with security. They're selling security. They're security experts. They package it in a bundled solution to make it more secure, more scalable, and to make sure that their people are well-trained on the technology that's in their stack. So an important question to ask is, what percentage of your revenue comes from IT managed services on a recurring monthly basis?
That would be a fantastic question, Rob, to ask, because that would tell a lot. Assuming they were telling the truth, that would be very illustrative to the risk that the carrier is getting into.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. The other thing that I think is important is real MSPs, you know, the type that, you know, people aspire to become are businesses that are on top of what's going on within their clients' organizations, and they look at the network, they look at their network as including their customers. They don't think about, oh, you know, I'm going to just have them sign a waiver that they won't sue me for all the things that are unsupported and outdated and insecure. Real MSPs don't take those customers.
Well, not today. I mean, I remember 15 years ago having this conversation at an MSP World, and you were bringing up the same issues. And you were talking to a lot of VARs, a lot of, you know, people that were on the path towards managed services. So this is not a new concept. I've heard you talk about this before.
But the important thing is this. you can't let customers cherry pick your services and be in managed services, because the difficulty is there's too many cooks in the kitchen. And if there's not one minimum set of standards that you apply to all of your customers, what I refer to as core managed services, but that are security related, like antivirus and DNS and firewall, you know, it's time that we start thinking about what our core security services are. And we don't take customers that are below, that don't take the core, because the core is what would be a reasonably secure environment for an unregulated end user.
And for those of you in the audience, why what Rob just said is so important is because if you take his theory that that core managed services ought to be consistently applied, meaning you don't allow below a certain threshold certain things to be modified, right? This is not a I can order off the menu situation. No, there's a baseline of which you don't want to make those modifications, precisely because this issue today is being raised as an issue because you have customers, these same customers purchasing these managed services, are also going out to market and saying, I want to get cyber protection. And the issue of, well, do you use an MSP? Well, yeah, of course, I use this one. That's why all this stuff is fusing together, in my opinion.
Well, ultimately, the insurance markets are going to look at the network as one risk.
Is that a good idea, do you think? Is that fair? I mean, because it's not, right? It's very... it's non-homogeneous, to put it mildly.
But I guess my question is, if I'm looking at underwriting an MSP, I'm concerned about the vulnerabilities of the end users. Those are the ones that are going to bring the claims.
Rob,
if I'm underwriting an end user and they're relying on an MSP to offer security services and outsourced IT, I'm worried about the strength of that MSP, because the weakness of that MSP results in claims by the first party customers related to insurance that they're being sold.
Rob, is it fair to look at an MSP in that way when it would be similar to saying, I'm gonna underwrite for medical malpractice this physician, but I want to take a look at all your patients and I want to see which, are they healthy? And actually judging your medical practice on the basis of how many healthy versus unhealthy patients you have. It's not fair. There's some things that the doctor can't control. And the same is true with MSPs. Are we making that mistake here?
I think there could be a mistake there. But if I'm an underwriter, I'm in a market where supply is less than demand, and I'm cherry picking the networks that I feel the most comfortable about. And so it's structurally built in with these specialty markets. The people who underwrite them are in business to have lower claims experience than the carrier's own book. That's how they make money. It's just like stock picking. You got to beat the street. Well, it's a different street. But the way this works is the guys that are brokering this stuff that also have the ability to underwrite are being compensated on the delta on their claims experience. They get to keep that money.
I have no problem with the insurance industry making a profit from this, because it's a valuable service, and it's very much in demand. What I have an issue with is the insurance industry are not cyber experts. They're far from it. And here's that, and my beef with this whole situation, this model of selling cyber liability insurance protection, is that it disrupts what I think both you and I agree is the natural order of the relationship between MSP and customer, and the trust relationship specifically the MSP has. And to invite in a non-expert who says, deploy this tool, do these things, do this, 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 and this, some of which may be very useful, But the point is that it is disruptive. And I think that it's a different situation to say, look, I'm not going to sell you a cyber policy unless you have multi-factor authentication. Fine. I have it as an MSP. All my customers do. Next question. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And that's why, I've been leaning more and more to put multi-factor authentication in core. It's not the market today, but I think MSPs should consider whether or not MFA is core and anything else that's on that locked in list of things that they look at as underwriters that comes from, that's very good information for MSPs who are concerned about making sure that they have liability insurance that's available to them and that they keep their rates down and they don't wind up losing their insurance or having, pay double, triple. We're hearing some horror stories in the market right now.
Yeah.
But MSPs are in control to a certain extent of how they fare relative to the market when it comes to insurance by making sure that they're implementing these, risk management solutions. And of course, having the appropriate policies in place and the right agreements with their customers that limit their liability. And I want everyone out there to know that there's an alternative to this nonsense. And the brokers that my clients deal with don't have this type of onerous and the way Charles and I think about it, wrong-headed way of going about underwriting. But I want to pose a hypothetical to you, Charles.
All right.
You sign up with us. You have contracts that are drafted by Scott and Scott for managed services. And in that master agreement, it says that you're going to have cyber liability insurance. And it requires the client to have first-party cyber liability insurance. And you send the agreement to the client, the unlikely event that they go read it in detail. They say to you, well, we don't have first-party cyber liability. And you say, no problem. I will refer you to Lockton and they'll get it for you.
Okay.
The issue is if you don't have an answer for the client that's suitable and the only answer is, well, we got to, do all of these crazy things, that would be a red flag that you're dealing with the wrong group.
But that, under that fact pattern, Rob, if I'm the MSP, I'm in control of the relationship as I should be. I am identifying potentially risky customers as evidenced by the fact that they don't carry cyber protection. And I am doing my job and advising them on why they should get cyber protection because it does cover things that aren't covered by my MSP's cyber coverage. So I am fine with this. Like Rob, you and I are not anti-insurance and anyone listening, please know that. This is not an anti-insurance rant episode. What we're talking about is the difference between the MSP dictating service and the quality of service to a customer and an insurance company, third party, coming in and saying, no. Forget that relationship. You're going to deal with us, Mr. Client. You deal with us, and the MSP is going to do what we say they need to do if you're going to continue to get coverage or as a prerequisite to get coverage. That is the entire issue that I think I'm raising. And Rob, it sounds like you had some legal and risk and business issues with it as well.
100%. And I think your analogy to what's happened with healthcare in the United States is troubling because there's a lot of parallels in what you're talking about.
Well, look, let's hope it doesn't get there. So we started this by saying a lot of the things we talk about are to raise awareness and educate you out there on trends that may not have become mainstream yet. And this is not mainstream. I've seen it twice, maybe three times. These are not, by the way, mainstream firms. This is not Hiscox, Chubb, the Lloyd's Syndicate. It's not Hartford. Right, they may be doing this stuff, but I've not heard that approach yet, and I hope they don't. So if you out there are seeing this, my advice, and you know, Rob would probably say the same thing, really think twice about engaging with anybody who says insurance comes with this hook and you need to give us access to your customers and we're going to start deploying software. Because once that happens, that trusted relationship you think you have, kiss it goodbye, because it's gone. That's just my take.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I want, and just to be fair, you know, there's a long list of really reputable cyber liability companies that Charles didn't name. You know, AIG, I remember meeting with them in New York City in the early 2000s when they launched their first cyber product. And at that time, it was the first in the market, as far as I knew. And for those of you who are in large organizations, you know, AIG is, you know, the enterprise player in cyber. CNA is, I've recently reviewed their form, and it's very up to date, particularly on the issue of third-party risk, which is something I'm concerned about. So, you know, there's tons of reputable carriers, far less agencies that focus on cyber. But plenty of options in terms of carriers. In my experience, the agencies that really understand MSPs and really focus on professional liability and cyber, they are not as prevalent in my experience.
Yeah.
And even then, very much individually dependent, like all professional services.
So if you happen to be one of those carriers out there that is doing this, fusing your insurance role with a cybersecurity scanning tool, stick to what you're good at, right? That would be my advice. Stop, knock off the technology, because it's already being done. The MSPs that you want to sell to, they already have this. They already, and by the way, they know how to use that tool better than you do. So knock it off, throw it away. Ask the questions, make demands of what you want, you know, as Rob said, core services. Make sure that their core services to customers comply with what you think are, you know, your cybersecurity minimum standards. Ask for that. But, you know, I think it's one, two, or three steps too far to start getting involved in scanning. And by the way, all doing that before there's ever any pledge of underwriting, right? This is just the due diligence, if you will, and which is another reason that I think it's just too a bit too speculative and a bit too questionable, in my opinion. But Rob, thank you very much for weighing in, and hopefully your blood pressure didn't get up there too high on this one.
You know, I'm cool as a cucumber.
That's why we like having you on the show.
Takes a lot to get me amped up.
Well, as always, we really appreciate it. If you guys have experienced this out in the market, if you want to shoot us an email, if you want to comment online, love to hear from you. Love to hear your comments and feedback. But we'll keep monitoring this and let you know if we experience anything in the future that's worth note. Rob, as always, appreciate it. And until next time, that's all.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.